You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
You're listening to episode 50 of the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. And today we're sort of taking a break from the normal conversations we have and wanted to address a topic that has really dominated the news, certainly for the last couple months, but more specifically for the last couple weeks. And that's to deal with the reality of this virus that has, you know, begun in China and then sort of worked its way around the world and then has made its way to the United States. And certainly, you know, here we are in the Pacific Northwest, at least Jason and I, and sort of the epicenter for this virus in the United States. And it's caused quite a bit of panic and concern as people really seem to, you know, be having their whole world sort of shattered by this. And so it's a great opportunity to really ask the question, what is a Christian response to this? How should we think through this kind of thing? What should our attitude be? And also, how do we then share the gospel in light of all that's going on and transpiring in the world? So Jason, I'll toss it over to you. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the front and center issue right now, and as you said, in the U.S., and also because we're in the Pacific Northwest, we I think, sense the panic and frustration probably at the highest levels, maybe. And I know, for example, just in working at the hospital, I've been able to see just the incredible concern people have regarding this and the anxiety that it's created, not knowing what's the next steps, how do I avoid getting the coronavirus, and in light of all this, which really can be, when we watch the media, we listen to the reports online, or we read reports online, it can create some anxiety, and we can forget, number one, that God is sovereign over all things. I think that's just so key from a Christian perspective, which is, of course, what we want to offer to all of our neighbors, and we want to encourage you, if you are a follower of Jesus, to be offering this perspective. First, to believe it in your own heart that God really is in control, no matter what. No matter what we face, no matter how much health officials, public safety officials, and government officials may seem out of control, God is in total control. And God is not threatened by the coronavirus. And so I think that's a good starting point, first of all, because if our prayers are going to be carrying the weight we want them to when it comes to safety and provision and just avoiding this for our loved ones, we need to know that God is really on his throne and he's able to act on behalf of our prayers. And I know in the past we've done episodes on the sovereignty of God and looked at the questions of prayer, suffering, and salvation. But I think that all kind of ties together with a more boots-on-the-ground feel when you look at the issue of the coronavirus. And obviously, we want to say, you know, prayer and trusting in God is not some kind of blanket excuse for not following the not abiding by the regulations that the government's put forward for preventing the spread of the disease. I think this, you know, is probably pretty standard for people to understand this, but we don't believe that, and I'm going to speak for myself, sorry, Jamie, I don't believe that it's a contradiction to pray and trust God for safety and also to take important steps to avoid spreading this disease in particular, but also just in general, being safe with how we carry ourselves. But I think from just an emotional and just from this, you know, spiritual perspective, we want to be able to say that God is in control. This is what Scripture affirms. So, for example, in 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, we read, Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in that prayer, we see that David is affirming the truth about God ruling over all. There's nothing that, it's not as though anything could surprise God. He knows all. He's all wise. He's all powerful. And so when it comes to these issues like the coronavirus, these real threats to our livelihood and to the livelihoods of our loved ones, we need to affirm this. We need to remember this and not go into panic, because if you think about it, it's not consistent for a Christian who believes what Christ did for us and what God has continued to do for us in sustaining us every day. It's not consistent to fall back into panic and overwhelming frustration in light of these things. Obviously, it is a big concern, and we want to take it seriously. But I think that's important to just remember from the get-go that God is limitless, so He reigns over all. But Jamie, why don't you weigh in on some of the things that have crossed your mind as you've been thinking about just God's sovereignty in relation to the coronavirus and how we're to look at things.
Yeah, I think that last point you made is really, I think, key to this, right? Is that our faith is evident in how we live. So yeah, while we are careful, certainly we don't want to contract a virus, and most importantly, we don't want to share it, especially with those vulnerable folks, you know, so we do abide by, you know, the self-quarantining. If you're sick, you stay home. You know, in my case, I have a little bit of a cold going on right now. It's not the COVID-19, but it is just a regular cold. And that's one thing to keep in mind as well. There's still three different kinds of regular cold that are going around right now, which are not the COVID-19. In fact, I think there's been like something like 3,000 people tested here in Washington, and only 400 and something have come up positive. So definitely keep in mind that, you know, just because you're sick doesn't necessarily mean you have that. But also, even if you have it, what we're being told is that 80% of the cases are pretty mild and don't even need medical attention. And so, definitely take those steps to abide by the instructions we're given. You know, avoid the big public gatherings for now, and if you're sick, stay home and all that sort of stuff. I see that as actually doing what God calls us to do, which is to love your neighbor, and so you don't want to get other people sick, and you don't want to, especially those vulnerable folks, so older folks or those who have compromised immune systems already because of other things. So definitely do those things, but don't do those out of fear, and certainly don't do them out of a self-preservation mindset, you know, where we hunker down in our house. You know, certainly we still need to love people. We still need to share the gospel with them. And if there's an opportunity, you know, maybe my neighbor needs food. They're sick. They need food. Then I go, you know, grocery shopping if I'm healthy, and bring them food, you know, set it on their porch or whatever, you know, those sorts of things. So we don't just hunker down to preserve our own life, because keep in mind, as a Christian, like Jason was saying, you know, if we die, we're with Christ. Now, of course, we want to live the fullest life that Christ has for us. But if we die, we get to be with Christ. So it's like, in a sense, while there is sort of still the fear of, you know, death itself, the result is after death, we get to be in the presence and glory of God forever. So that should really, I think, medicate a lot of that pain or fear to be like, okay, worst case scenario, if I were to get COVID-19 and I was to die from it, I would be with Christ. That's awesome. So that should help ease our concern. And then, you know, of course, think of the counsel of the Word of God. I'm thinking of, like, you know, Philippians 4, where it says, do nothing out of worry, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The encouragement is, of course, that instead of worry or fear, we take that to Christ and then rest in the security that comes from him. I also think it's important to think of, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7, I think it is, where we're encouraged that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. That doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. That doesn't come from the presence of God's work in our lives and in our hearts. And so, you know, sort of turning that fear back over to God and just saying, okay, Lord, you know what's going to happen in this country. You know what's going to happen in this economy. You know what's going to happen with, you know, all these shortages. And so I'm just going to rest in the goodness of who you are.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Jamie. Just to go to our knees in prayer over everything that causes anxiety in our lives, and whether it's COVID-19 or it's something else, there is always reason to go to prayer and go to God and to reconnect with him and to see him as the source of all peace in life. And that will distinguish you from the rest of the world. That will actually be a positive witness for Christ, because they're going to see that you are putting your trust in something that is not limited by this world around us. And I think, you know, I think just of the fact that a lot of times Christians will, you know, in a sense, they're trying to get God off the hook for suffering, and they'll end up saying things like, you know, God's trying his best to do away with disease, and God's trying his best to stop the spread of COVID-19. And I think those kind of statements really are not helpful, because that actually diminishes trust in God. And I mean, first of all, it's not biblical. You look at places like Ephesians 1:11, it says, in him, speaking of Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And then, you know, flipping over to Romans 8, we see this similar promise. Not only are all things worked out according to the counsel of his will, but Romans 8:28 says, and we know, you know, it's almost like Paul is saying, guys, this is not a guessing game. We're not just hoping for this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And it goes on to talk about the goal, even in suffering, is to conform us to the image of Christ. And I think these are important things to think about, that God is actually using the coronavirus for good. And if you doubt that, well, then you're disagreeing with the Bible. And that's why, for me, it's like, it's not hard to say that. It's hard for a lot of Christians to say that, but I just read two passages that say that God is in total control and that he's working things according to his perfect will for good. Now, obviously, there's a huge piece of this that we want to say as well, which is that God has not abandoned us. It's not as if he's pulling all the levers and strings in heaven, and he's left us alone to deal with disease and disaster on our own. Because the real message we want to share with others during these times is that God has entered into this world that is so tarnished by sin and suffering. And I think, Jamie, you know, just getting the big picture, first of all, if people say, well, why is God allowing COVID-19 in the first place? I think the big picture that people need to start with, this is just the basics of a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, is that the human race as a whole has flouted God's authority over our lives, and that is the reason for suffering to begin with. You know, the fall of man, as recorded in the first chapters of Genesis, explains why there is death, why there is suffering, why there's wickedness run amok. It's because, not because God is not good or God is not sovereign, but because he has allowed us to, in a sense, he has allowed us to go our own way, which, although it's contrary to his moral will, it's still part of his sovereign will that he has allowed that. And if that's confusing, I think a good illustration would be a parent, you know, working with kids. I have three boys, so I can, you know, think of this example. If I was to tell my boys, I do not want you to climb up on the counter and steal a cookie, you know, from the cupboard. If I say I'm saying I don't want them to do that. That's my moral will, in a sense. Now, if I did not stop them when they were climbing up and I said, don't do it, I'm still telling them my moral will, but if I haven't pulled them down from the counter and you know, basically pulled them into a place where they can't get to the cookie, then I've still, in a sense, allowed it, even though I've told them not to. Now, that's a very simple illustration, but that shows that you can say and truly want someone to not do something and then still permit it. And that is what happened with God in the garden. He knew full well that they were going to sin against him, but he allowed it. And in a similar way, God is working out all circumstances, in fact, all examples of evil in the world today and all natural disasters, all diseases. He's working those things out for his good purpose. Jamie, you want to jump in?
Yeah, it's also worth noting that I believe that sickness and, you know, natural disasters and all these sort of things actually fall in the category of under the curse of sin as well, that the result, what sin brought, was not just death to us as a people, but it brought death to our world as well. And you see this in Romans 1, where creation itself is groaning under the weight of sin and it's looking for the sanctification to come in the perfect of Christ. And so a lot of disease and natural disasters, I mean, think of the tornado that just hit through Nashville, Tennessee, just what, I don't know, 2 weeks ago maybe or something. It seems so forgotten now in light of all this panic. But we see these sort of things, you know, and the result was a pretty catastrophic loss of life. And the same, you know, with disease and death, you know, with cancer, with heart disease, with all this stuff. And it's just like, man, well, that's creation as well, just feeling the full effect, the full weight of sin and the death that's brought as a result of all that. So so that's part of, you know, that's part of this as well. Of course, God is sovereign overall, and he is too good to intervene and deal with all of this evil, because, you know, like Jason said, if he did, he'd have to remove all of us to see that accomplished. And so we're obviously so grateful that God in his providence continues to call people to himself, even though all of this death and chaos and pain just really rules and runs our world. But I also think it's important, whose voice are we listening to? Because I know for me, like, I don't know about you, Jason, but like, I don't really worry too much about this COVID-19, this coronavirus, all that much. I don't really worry about sickness all that much. I don't really worry about those sort of things. But when you watch the news all the time, and when you see, you know, the sort of anxiety, that the collective panic in our society, you know, you see the shortages of supplies at grocery stores and, you know, toilet paper. For whatever reason, everybody's hoarding all the toilet paper, and you think, boy, you start to get anxious just by nature of having your eyes on all that's going on around us. You know, you see churches closing services for several weeks. You see, you know, sports canceled. Just all the norms that sort of surround, and in its absence, it's just led to, you know, great panic. And it's so easy to get caught up in that. Not so much because you're afraid necessarily of what's going on, but just because it's happening around you so much. You know, you've seen the stock market. I've honestly thought a lot about the stock market lately because I started investing, you know, in retirement savings through mutual funds invested in the markets, and have, you know, seen a lot of that money that's been invested over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years just sort of evaporate. And you're like, oh man, you can feel that anxiety just start to well up. And yet the encouragement is, where do we put our eyes? You know, are we focused on Christ? And so what I keep coming back to is just sort of recentering myself when I start to feel that anxiety welling up in me because I'm watching the news or because I'm, you know, watching what's happening on Facebook or what's happening around us in our society. And I just start to feel that anxiety, you know, welling up. It's a good indication to me that I need to fix my eyes back on Christ. You know, think of like Psalms 121, which is such a beautiful psalm that I often think about. It says, you know, I look my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I think about that a lot. Just because it's so comforting to recognize. It's like, okay, when I get caught up in all that's happening around me, what do I need to do? I need to just look up and see the glory of God.
Yeah, that's so good. That's such a great reminder. And I think, you know, for these times when death is maybe more at the forefront of people's mind, you already alluded to this, Jamie, but I think this is the time when we really have to be vigilant and being the gospel bearers that Christ has called us to be. And I mean, I think of the example when Jesus was here on earth, you know, in Luke 13, there's this time when the Jews come up to Jesus and they say, hey, look, you know, Pilate just slaughtered all these Galileans. And does this indicate that these Galileans were worse sinners? Were these like the worst offenders against God, and that's why they suffered? And Jesus basically says, no, in fact, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then, you know, the same scenario happens where, you know, that was caused by Pilate, so that was a moral evil done against some Jews. But then in another case, a tower that was probably being built at the time in Siloam fell and killed 18 people. And again, the question is posed, you know, is this because these guys were the worst sinners in all of Jerusalem? And Jesus says, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And I think the reminder in that is, look, death, death is not something new as a result of COVID-19. It's something that has been brought more into our consciousness because we are hearing about reports of people dying from this, and it's spreading quickly. But the reality is that people have been dying every day for a very long time, and by the multitudes, people are dying and headed for eternity. And so Jesus is saying, "Look, let this great let this great disaster or this great suffering that you see around you, let that awaken your consciousness to the fact that you need to repent, because death is coming for us all. If the Lord tarries, you know, we anticipate death coming, and we need to make a decision. Are we going to follow Christ? Are we going to surrender to him and have that assurance of eternal life that he offers to us, an eternal life that COVID-19 can't even come close to touching? Or are we going to be going back into our denial that, you know, death may come for others, but it will never come for me? you know, and we'll try to stave off death as long as we can, holding on to that thought. And Jesus says, no, don't let that foolish idea enter your mind, because death is coming and it's time to repent. It's time to come to the Savior who loves you. It's time to come to the arms of the Father who created you and have that relationship with him. That's what it's all about. And you know, C.S. Lewis put it this way, pain is the megaphone that God uses to rouse a deaf world. In other words, until we feel vulnerable or threatened because of pain in our lives or touching those who love us or who we love, we will often push the thought of eternity out of our minds. But God is using times like this to awaken us to that need for him.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting site or go to our website, faithunpacked.com. And if you have any questions, feel free to get in touch with us. You can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on social media. And join us next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.